Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we can come together this morning. Ask you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit may guide us in the things we are going to be sharing, that we may, Lord, be able to hear from you and appropriate all the things that you have done for us. We thank you, Lord, that we know you care about each one of us. And that, Lord, that we can trust you in for all things, because you are for us and not against us. And so, Lord, this morning we just rejoice and open our heart to your word, that you may quicken it and give us, Lord, your life. In Jesus' name. Amen. So this series on the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, we have to understand the role. Lots of people have problem in understanding the Trinity, because it's a concept that does not make sense too much to our logical mind. But many of the things that are of the Spirit don't make much sense to our logic, because they go beyond our experience that is based on physical things. And only after we start to experience things in the spirit world that we can appreciate, or we can perceive some of the things that otherwise are beyond our comprehension. And understand, you know, the Trinity can be actually explained or understood much better from a relational point of view. It's the way we relate to God. Because there are different relationships that we have with the three persons of the Trinity. The relationship we have with the Father, the relationship we have with the Son of Jesus, and the relationship we have with the Holy Spirit. All of three of them are important. Many people they call themselves Christian, have only a very superficial relationship with the Holy Spirit, when instead our relationship with the Holy Spirit is critical for our ability to do many things that we are called to do as believers. Because there is more than the physical world that we see and touch and are in. And that dimension that is the spiritual dimension is where the Holy Spirit works and operates and impacts us. And that is the way God relates to us, to bring us into that dimension through the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has many functions, not just one. And so, today, contact between us and God is mostly through the Holy Spirit to bring us into that dimension. This is the way Jesus operated. And this is what he has given us. You see, he has given us the best gift that he could give us by giving us the Holy Spirit that wasn't available the way we have it in the New Testament. In the New Testament, we have a new covenant with God, a new relationship with God, a new contract, if you want, with God. And the Holy Spirit is critical in that relationship. Oh, in just about every way, because the way God communicated to us is through the Holy Spirit. See, in John chapter 14, verse 16 says, "And I will pray the Father," Jesus said, "and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." This is the thing that wasn't available in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit was already existed, evidently, and was operating on people, because we see them on many people manifested the power of God in their life, but was on an exception basis rather than on a common basis. Now it's different. Now it's a much better covenant that we have with better promises. The Holy Spirit dwells with us, in us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He is inside us and makes all the difference in our walk. But there's something we had to learn about it. We had to learn to relate to that, to have a relationship with Him. Yang-Yi Cho used a term that I like and I think is significant, that the Holy Spirit is our senior partner. I like that because it really reflects the spirit of the relationship. See, if you are in a business, and we are in the business of life, you are in a business, you cannot run a business very efficiently by yourself. There is need for other people to work with you. Okay? Always. The more you are able to work together and have everybody with the same vision, with the same intent, with the same goals, the better it's going to be. Always pushing together. And this is the same thing spiritually. You know, you can't fight the battle of life by yourself. This is why Jesus made the church. The church purpose is so that people work together and help each other, and where one is strong, the other one is weak, and so that they can help. But the Holy Spirit is our senior partner in the sense that He's the one we had to listen to because He's senior to us. He knows a few things that we don't know. He understands some things that we, for now, we are just limited in our understanding. And so, His key is the helper. The other word that is used or translation, you know, is parakletos. It's our comforter. The one who comforts us, but it's more than comfort. He's there, that's backing us up. He's there to strengthen us. He's there to help us. He's there to stand by our side. He's always there. You see, that you can have a partner and you can so go and meet him once in a while. And that can be helpful because if he has more experience than you have, he can give you some good tips on what to do and how to run the business. But he is there with us all the time. Actually, he dwells in us. So he's always within the call. Now, the problem is that we shut them off. Instead of listening, instead of being open, we just go according to our own thinking and we miss what is wanted to communicate to us. And it's a learning process to learn how to connect, how to relate to Him, and how to get Him to manifest His abilities in our life. Are you following what I'm saying? He dwells in me. Can you say that? He dwells in me. You see, He's there. You have to know that He's resident in you. And you have to depend on that residence. You have to learn to make that connection and to stay there. Because he's going to make an enormous difference. This is why Jesus at the end, when he was leaving, he communicated the last message. And when somebody is leaving, always said the same thing. He says, wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you shall have power. And you shall be my witnesses. So the two things that are going to be manifested is this power and this witness that we are going to be. So, another thing that Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 17, is the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be with you. One of the things that the Holy Spirit is going to do for us is to reveal to us the truth. I mean, we are going to know the truth. Because He's going to guide us, He's going to show us things to come. He's going to enable us to see the things that we do not see yet. You see, we cannot see things in a dimension that we have no experience of. How can you understand the spirit world if the only experience you have is physical? But his function, because he's from there, is to communicate and reveal to us things of the spirit world so that we understand how the spirit works. And that we can cooperate and learn from him. He teaches us how to connect to the spirit world in the right way. The way Jesus did. So that we can be not just mere humans, but sons of God. This is what his plan is from the beginning. See, we go back to the beginning. The fall of man is taken care of when we are born again. But there is a learning process which is called salvation, which has to happen, in which our mind is renewed and our understanding. Everything has to do with the understanding. If we do not understand things properly, we can't do it. We are going to make mistakes. But our understanding we cannot receive from the physical thing. It's not by reading a book that you're going, not even reading the Bible. Because lots of people read the Bible and they interpret it according to their fleshy mind and they cannot understand what it says. It's the Holy Spirit, the one that wrote the book in the first place, and is the one that's opening it up to us. Just recently, yesterday as a matter of fact, I was finishing the book on healing. And the Lord revealed to me a scripture that I read millions of times and lots of people have used the wrong way to say that the gifts should not be operating anymore. Well, what the Lord actually showed to me, that they didn't read the thing properly. That's not what it says, that scripture that they have been using all the time. I'm going to probably share with you today. They just read it the wrong way. So the emphasis, you know, you just put emphasis on a word instead of another, everything changes. I never read that revelation before. I never read it any place. That was definitely the Holy Spirit. I was writing up the last chapter and the Lord was just pouring it out through me, and suddenly I read these scriptures and said, why do they say that? So, what I'm saying is this is what God wants to do. This is the way he gives us revelation, gives us understanding. He made us able to have knowledge. Some people say, well, you know, knowledge is of the mind. No, your mind has to be involved. Otherwise, how are you going to do? You're going to be in the fog. Your mind has to be renewed. What does it mean that your mind has to really start thinking right, not thinking wrong the way we have been maybe thinking according to our own idea instead of thinking the way our mind thinks right when it thinks the same way as God thinks. And that's the way that Jesus taught. The word says that we have the mind of Christ. In reality, you know, we can get to the place in which we have the mind of Christ. That means we start thinking the way God thinks. But to do that, it just doesn't happen overnight. You have to start re-educating your mind to think right. And many of the way that God thinks for us are kind of contradictory. Given shall be given unto you. The word says, take and it shall be, you should have more. I mean, that's a typical example. Well, that's not my experience. The more I give and the more I get. And the more grateful I am and the more I want to give. Why? Because God blesses the giver, the joyful giver. The thinking process has to change. That's repentance. It's not just say, we're going around, oh, poor little me, and oh, I'm a sinner. No, no. When you start thinking right, you are knowing, you know, what you know, and your thinking works. Right theology produces results all the time. That's my theology. All right. And when doesn't produce results, it means I'm wrong. Simple. Doesn't have to be complicated. Anyway, our relationship with the Holy Spirit fulfills the purpose of God's relationship with us. One of the things that Jesus said, even before he did the Holy Spirit, is interesting. You know, to a woman at the well in John chapter 4, Jesus said, he was asking for water. He says, you know, I don't have any, please give me some water. And he said, well, you're a Jew, you know, give, ask me water and so on. And the end of the story says, I'm going to give you water, Jesus said to her, that you thirst no more. You know, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing into everlasting life. Hallelujah. People that are born again and should understand that we shouldn't be, should get to the place where we don't thirst anymore. That we are satisfied. That we may still want to do more for God. But we don't need, we have all the God that we are going to get. Because it's going to come from inside us. Hello. That's what Jesus said. You shall thirst no more. You know, we are not in a thirsty and weary land anymore. We are in the presence of God with the Holy Spirit inside us, bringing, you know, water, a fountain of water spilling out from our belly. This is the way we should feel. That's the way we should experience. When we experience that, our life is different. We are not anymore in a land of lacking. We are in a land of abundance. The abundance life that Jesus came to give us. And it's not just physical. It's not physical. But actually, it spills out in the physical. Because if you are just motivated in the physical, it's not going to work. But when it operates in the other level, then it's going to have an effect on the physical world of your life and the people around you. Jesus came to give us abundant life, not a life of misery. Religion produces a life of misery. Jesus again repeated in John chapter 7 when he was in the temple. On the last day, or the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart or out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. That means you are not thirsty. You are not in a thirsty land. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. If you need any scripture to memorize and to know and to experience, start experiencing Psalms 23. But the two go together. Start using Psalm 1 to receive Psalm 23. Put it better. Okay? The idea is simple. You know that living of living water. What the river of clean water says, you know, verse 39, just after, but this he was spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him will receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because he was not yet glorified. That's the importance of the Holy Spirit, the relationship that being, the water flowing out from inside you, that satisfaction, that lack of thirst that's going to be in you, doesn't mean that you are the, you know, you're doing there and standing in the sun. It says it seems you got everything and you don't care. No, you have that water motivating you to share it and to run it and give it to others. Now, that's the function of the Holy Spirit. It's going to make all the difference in your life. So one of these differences is going to be power in you. Power in you to overcome any situation in your life, just like Jesus did. But Jesus was not under the circumstances. He always walked through things and was not touched until he himself submitted to the situation because he was taking our place. But all the time before that, he was always having the way he wanted it, because he was the master of the situation. No matter what he was going through. This is the way God wants us to be. Because he went through the things for us so that we don't need to go through those things. But we have to understand what that means and how to get there. The power to overcome, just as Jesus did. There are certain things in your own power, in your own ability, you can, in your own flesh, in your own mind, you cannot do. You cannot overcome. But in his power you can. You can overcome sin, weaknesses, limitations in your life. That otherwise not possible. So there has to be a desire for you to have that manifestation, to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because that's what's going to bring you out at a different level. You can be there or you can be up here. He wants to take you up there. And maybe there is a process to go through. So the other things that's going to happen is you become a witness of him. Acts chapter 1 there. And really, what does it mean to be a witness of him? You go around on the street and tell everybody about Jesus. Well, it just sometimes doesn't do very much. I mean, you can do that too, and that's fine, but you better do it under the anointing, because otherwise you're going to spend lots of time and there will be very little results. After a while, you're going to be depleted and not be able to do much anymore. What is the way to do that is the way Jesus did it. The way Jesus did it is not just going around and says, well, I believe the things I believe. Actually, he didn't talk too much about what to believe. He mostly said, the kingdom of God is here. I'm proving it to you. Come here, are you sick? Be healed. Do you have lepers? Get clean. But that's, you know, that's really convincing, won't you say? Well, nothing has changed. He gave us the ability to do the same thing he did. When we start believing that, we are going to do it. But before we believe that, it's not going to be manifested in us. So this is really, okay, the things, the same supernatural work that Jesus did is in us. That's why we become witnesses, because those are nothing else. It's not our theology, it's not our ability to communicate, it's not our apologetic, it's not our things that is going to convince people. What's going to convince people is the power of God manifested. If they don't believe that, there is nothing you can do to convince them. Because they are closed and they are biased. What we have to do is to stand for the truth and says the word says that and I prove it to you. But you have to have the courage to do that and you have to have the experience to do that. And this is a growing process. So when you start experiencing that, then it's not a question of being obnoxious with people. Boldness doesn't mean obnoxiousness. It means that you stand for where you are. That you know what you're saying. That you have understanding about spiritual things. So that you are not shaken by trying to defend your position. You don't have nothing to defend. Nothing to apologize about. They can take it or leave it. And there are many forms in which this power of God manifests itself. And this is a part that's really exciting to discover, because you can see it sometime in operation, but just seeing is just the physical component. There is much more than that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, you know, there are many diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are many difference in ministries, but the same Lord, and there are different activities, but the same God who works all in all. So you see, big part of really knowing the Holy Spirit, relating to the Holy Spirit, is start to understand the way he works in many different ways, because God just doesn't have one way of doing things. He is full creativity. He can think things that we cannot even imagine. He thought the whole universe. And so he knows all the universe. And when we try to connect with him, we start to have a peek inside something of his mind. And the Holy Spirit is the one that gives us the ability to peek in, because He actually takes the trouble to communicate it with us so that our mind can catch it. But to do that, He has to translate it in a language that we can understand. That means He has to connect with us to the experience we are in now to be able to, for us to grasp anything, because otherwise it's nonsense to us. Are you following what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit is the most exciting part of our Christianity. Because this is the way God works in the world today. The way He relates to us, the way He teaches us, the way He guides us, the way He empowers us, the way He gives us victory, the way He shows things that we don't have a clue about, and suddenly, sometime, shows us things that, as our sister was saying before, I can't explain it. Sometimes we can see things that we can explain in many years after. I have some experiences maybe 30 years ago that only now I understand. Why? Because at that time, my understanding was limited to my experience. It's not that I wasn't as smart as now or stupid as now, the way you want to call it, but it's not that. It's just that the mind cannot grasp, because it doesn't have the background to integrate the pieces. And so He has to expand our mind, but first He starts to expand our heart. And the first things that happen is when you're born again, you see, that's what Jesus said in John chapter 3, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless you're born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. The first things that happen when we start getting in there is that we don't, you know, our understanding is limited. I remember when I was born again, I didn't know what I was doing. And I don't think anybody that is born again know what they are doing, because their mind doesn't know. But their heart responded to a call from God, and that triggered something, made the biggest miracle that can happen to happen. You were born of the Spirit. And when you are born of the Spirit, your spirit is just as clean and just as perfect as can ever be. It's all the other part of you that is still a mess and needs to be cleaned up and changed. And that's what the process of salvation is afterwards. There is a progressive work of cleansing, progressive work of changing, in which our thinking is just turned upside down. And religion call it repentance, and actually it's the right word to it, but you know, the association with the word is the wrong one. Repentance means that you change your mind. You change the way you see the world. You change the way you relate to things. You change the way you interpret things. And that change is the way is that you change to become more and more like Jesus was, more and more like God is in your thinking. Amen. So I'm excited about this series, because I think it's the time. I feel it's been the time for some time, but you know, the Lord, the way it works with me, He prepares for me for something and then comes together at the right time. Before it was healing, and we did the work on that, and we get in the results we are getting. Why? Because the understanding is there. So just when you get the book, just don't just read it. Chew it, meditate on it, work on it, until you get the results that says you should be getting, because this is what God wants. He wants to create many people getting the same results that Jesus got. When we can do what Jesus did, you know, even partially, it's already a big result. Many people can do anything of what He did. Even 10% of the time. I remember when I was getting once in a while some results, for example, with some aspect of, you know, there are gifts of healing The Bible talks not just about gift of healing, but gift of healings. See, there are different, and I can, before I could theoretically talk about that that's what the Word said, but actually now I experientially can say that's truth, because some gifts of healings are operating in me better than others. And I know in some areas, for example, if you have pain, I know 90% of the time, maybe even more, you get it in 2 minutes. Why? Because that gift of healing is operating in me. I would like to expand that 100 times so that there are 100 different gifts of healing operating, the same level of success. Are you following what I'm saying? But I'm not special. Everybody can do that when they get the experience, when they get the understanding. And my job is to try to get that to you. And with that, we close for today. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank you for your goodness, the love that you have for us, that is not just in words, but we can experience it, we can live it. We thank you, Lord, that you are such a good God, and that, Lord, we can get closer to you without fear, but with confidence that you are behind us, wanting to help us, guide us, strengthen us, and give us victory in all the areas of our lives. And for that, Lord, thank you from our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.